And so here we have Congress being sold this monstrosity. Now, it's my understanding the big selling factor was, well, you won't have to worry about fluctuations in values. You won't have to worry about the currency being diminished, that stability was the name of the game. Am I right about that?
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, Congress mandated for the Federal Reserve System to maintain stable prices, full employment, and economic growth. But here we have seen lately the United States sucking up about 80% of the world's savings. That's about $2.6 billion a day to finance our deficit spending. And I'm just afraid that if these foreign subsidies stops, and you got to remember that the world hates us now, we're going to have a tremendous problem in this country.
I agree. But before we even get to today, here they are in 1913 selling it that there's not going to be fluctuations. Of course, here comes 1929, the worst fluctuation in our history. You would think under a normal situation that that right there would have been the end of the Fed. But instead, of course, here comes our buddy FDR, who lengthens the Great Depression through the Fed, and instead of going away, becomes more entrenched.
You're absolutely correct. Most economists now in our universities have credited the Federal Reserve with exacerbating the economic maladies that prolonged the Great Depression, as well as helped to trigger the market crash in 1929. It's a problem, I mean, and the American people need to wake up and understand it.
Yeah, the Fed's revaluing the money and then not providing it to the banks, of course, helped the run on the banks. And then, of course, all of the programs after that. And here's Roosevelt, who's clearly one of their own. In 33, you can't tell me the Fed wasn't involved in this. Roosevelt confiscates gold.
Absolutely. I think that was March of 1933. Roosevelt called in the gold. He also shut down the banks, called it a banking holiday. People had lost faith in the government's ability to handle monetary policy, and there were panics. There were runs on the banks, and, you know, these are some of the more draconian steps that we have seen taken in the past, and if we're not careful, we could wind up at that point again in the future, because we are in some pretty turbulent times today.
Well, and that begs a question, because, of course, the Fed has been calling the shots and manipulating things since its beginning, really. And, of course, you know, we can talk about what happened with World War II, and, of course, that got us into the UN and all the global things. But the bottom line, when we get to today, now we're talking about a big question. Are they still able to manipulate, or has it gotten away from them?
I think the Fed has lost some of its ability to control the money supply. I think that the Fed today is an institution of frantic gentlemen who are in actuality, they're riding the back of the tiger. And you know what Kennedy said, those who choose to ride the back of the tiger will eventually end up inside. I think the economy is totally out of hand. I think that we saw globalization proceed without the necessary protocols in place to govern a global economy. And we've seen a series of ad hoc regulatory measures to govern a very frantic global economic landscape. We've seen disproportional rises in prosperity in our hemisphere, lower GDP rates than in the European Union, lower per capita income. There are a lot of problems that the Fed has to contend with. Right now, I think their number one concern is dealing with the subprime mortgage meltdown. That's caused a lot of cash-strapped consumers to default on their loans and banks to report billions of dollars in losses that tied to bets on these bad mortgages. So that's the Fed's number one concern. They also have inflation they're trying to deal with, but the economy is going to come first. And they're in a catch-22. I mean, what are they going to do? They're forecasting more rate cuts, but if they cut rates to stimulate the economy, their people will run from the dollar. I think the U.S. dollar probably has maybe another 4 years, and we might be looking at a new monetary unit.
Well, and when you bring up now I put my real conspiratorial hat on and say there are some that want to make that the Amero and have it be the North American Union currency.
It's possible. I mean, you know, the dollar cannot take too much more erosion before China and other countries begin to significantly diversify. And this would lead to the Federal Reserve drastically raising interest rates to continue to attract foreign capital. That would put the brakes on the economy. It would probably create a very severe recession. Right now, manufacturers are very concerned about the fear of recession. Wall Street Street is very, very jittery over there. I mean, as a matter of fact, the Fed is forecasting, as I said, at their next meeting to cut interest rates. What did Wall Street have today? The reduction in the Dow. I mean, it was a great big yawn. I mean, they're not impressed. So I think the Fed has lost its ability to be able to affect the mania of the markets as quickly as it used to be able to do.
And it's been coming for a long time, because when we talk about the subprime, this is really a symptom more than a cause. We can go back to the middle class not realizing they were being eroded when suddenly both members of a household had to work. Then we get into the easy availability of credit, which originally is for luxuries and then comes down to necessities. And when we started to see a real slump in the economy, and what was bringing it around was housing. Well, you looked at housing and you saw these deals of zero down and money at closing and, oh, they're adjustable rates, but the price is going up. And then, of course, all the people who, as their equity rose, took that equity out in their home equity lines of credit. We've been seeing this coming for so long that it's not something that just occurred because of housing. And when you talk about whatever you do with interest rates, at this point, we're talking about solvency, not liquidity.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, Alan Greenspan pretty much cut interest rate 13 times between January 2001 and June 2003 by a total of 5.5%. And that did make the recession at that time a little bit less severe, but at what price? I mean, the monetary expansion created a multiple asset bubble environment in corporate bonds and mortgage-backed securities, increased debt, and the daddy of them all, this housing bubble. I think it exposed the economy to some pretty bad economic forces. So we have Alan Greenspan to credit for a lot of this. At the same time as he was warning the country about irrational exuberance, he was creating the perfect economic environment for Americans to become irrationally exuberant. As a consequence, we saw home values skyrocket. I mean, they increased to between 2003 and 2004 to a 25-year high. Right. And they did that as a deficit reduction tool. In other words, I mean, it increased the tax base, which is going to give our politicians in Washington a lot more money to put their hands on. Now we're dealing with the corrections in it all, and I got to tell you, it's not going to be a pretty sight.
Now, see, that's the thing. There's no easy way out of this. And most people, if they had to sell their home today, even assuming they're not in foreclosure, would have to bring money to closing, because when Bush was crowing about highest rate of home ownership in America, he wasn't bothering to say lowest rate of equity.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be one of the greatest challenges of Chairman Bernanke, is how to increase the savings rate in this country. We've had a negative savings rate for far too long, and we've credited Alan Greenspan with too much. I mean, we said that he simultaneously achieved record low inflation. They're saying that he spawned the greatest economic boom in U.S. history, and he saved the world from financial collapse. But after he stepped down, I think he left behind a record foreign deficit. He left behind a generation of Americans with very little savings and a mountain of debt. I think that he set this country up for what we're going through right now.